You're listening to All the Best. I'm Belinda Lopez. Our episode today is called Pot of Gold, as in the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And it's about one guy who went looking for a very metaphysical pot of gold. Nathan Carter was 27 years old and not dissatisfied with life, but not all that excited about it either. He decided that what he needed was a way to find himself, a challenging adventure, a desert adventure, with camels and 3,500 kilometres of walking. This piece was produced by Fiona Pepper. It's got a language warning on it, and Nathan's journey to find his pot of gold starts in a very unlikely place, on the television show Deal or No Deal.
Congratulations, Nathan Carter. Your Back with the Bank begins now on Deal or No Deal.
If you did walk out of here with $50,000, what would you put that sort of cash to?
$50,000, I think I'd probably end up buying a camel.
Why a camel?
Oh, it's always been a small passion of mine to maybe travel across the Australian desert on a camel.
On a camel?
Yeah, be an adventurer.
G'day, my name's Nathan, and in 2007, I attempted to cross Australia with camels. It's a question I'm asked a lot. Why would you want to cross Australia with camels? Why not drive? Why not catch a train? Why not fly? Everyone flies these days. I guess it was for a few different reasons.
At the time, Nathan was 27 years old. He'd just done well on Deal or No Deal, and yes, he had decided he was going to attempt to cross the Nullarbor with camels, using prize money to fund the trip. The operative word being attempt.
Sure enough, I don't know how. I still didn't understand at the time, but I came away with $12,000. Jobless, cashed up, and pretty much at the whim of this dream now that perhaps I could make it a reality.
Nathan was looking for a challenge out in the wilds of the desert, but first he found himself a little publicity. Here he is on morning television. G'day WA in Perth.
Now Nathan Carter joins us now, Nate the Camelier.
Why are you doing this? What inspired you to travel across Australia on camels?
Look, it started as a distraction actually, Anita, but and then a challenge and then a dream and now it's actually come to the dream I had once. Just to cross Australia, and why not?
Nathan, I had a dream once to cross Australia, and I got a train.
Oh, okay.
So Nathan began assembling a crack team of travellers for the expedition.
I had made a promise to my mate Damo that if either of us got on the program, that we're actually going to go halves in the winnings, but I told him that I'd spent the money. And so then I said, well, you know, half the camels are yours. You pretty much got to come on this trip across Australia.
Hi, I'm Damien Thornton, walking extraordinaire, ex-camelier. I went on the trip because I wasn't going to let Nathan do something so stupid without me.
And my other mate, Leon, decided he'd come along, and partly as a traveller, but also partly to document the trip.
Hi, my name's Leon Bryant, documentary maker and time waster. Nathan wanted me to go on the trip really badly and had been pushing and pushing for a couple of months, but I was very dubious at first, knowing Nathan. So I was 99% sure that I didn't want to go on the trip because it would be very dangerous and there was a possible chance of death. But I still couldn't say 100% no that I didn't want to go on the trip. And I pulled out my Osho Zen tarot card. I just shuffled them thinking about whether or not I was going to go on this crazy trip with Nathan. And as I pulled out one card, it had a picture of a camel on it. I went, yep, I'm meant to go on this trip.
So now Leon was the official cameraman of the trip. And it was also officially the first time he had ever used a camera. You're about to start hearing clips of the footage Leon got along the way.
Additionally, my uncle, Brad, he said it was something that he was interested in. And then he called me one day, you know, in a couple of weeks later, he said, I'm in.
Here, Leon's focusing in on Brad, Nathan's uncle. Brad had started expressing doubts about the trip pretty early on.
I was a little bit concerned because I'm not 100% certain that we've got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. But I think we've got a few of the other vowels and consonants covered, so at least that's a start.
Yeah.
The team assembled in Perth for the start of their long journey. So there was Damo, a self-confessed poet whose height turned out to be a great advantage when working with the camels. There was Leon, the musical theatre-trained first-time documentary maker, and Brad, Nathan's uncle, who was probably the hardest worker of the group with the shortest temper. And then, of course, there was Nathan.
Nathan is a very quirky man. I remember when I first realised Nathan was very cool when he was 12. He had long blonde hair that went to his shoulders and was a little bit like Kurt Cobain or Daniel Johns and played that really rock card. And all the girls thought that he was really awesome. But when I realised the real Nathan, it was in year 9 when he turned up the first day of school and had got his mother to perm his hair, kind of fell from grace. And that's when we really got to know the real Nathan. He wasn't afraid to make a bit of a goof of himself. Although I think at the time he actually thought the perm was actually quite cool.
So there wasn't much practical outdoor experience, let alone camelier experience amongst the group. But there was certainly a sense of adventure. And with 3 camels and 4 men, they weren't exactly crossing Australia on camels, but rather crossing Australia while walking camels.
Turned up at the camel farm and without ever really having seen a camel in this sort of harebrained idea about travelling with them. I was actually a little bit intimidated by these guys because they were pretty big. And then slowly as you sort of work with them and you get to know them, you realise that but they have very, very lively personality. So the 3 camels that we had on the trip, first one was a camel, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I didn't name the camel, but it was so apt.
I cannot stand that camel. I hate Priscilla. She was the biggest bitch.
Firstly, that was Aisha. She was sort of a headstrong, large camel who I didn't really know a lot about before we went on the trip. Nice camel, but Wasim. There was Wasim. He was the only guy, and he was a hell of a camel. Very unique, with a lot of cheek.
So I guess Wasim, in the end, I liked the most, just because he was this big, dumb, strong male.
To have your best mates along on a journey like this and share it, I mean, how good is life? Every day we're going to be getting up and just walking, loading up the camels and just kind of talking and hanging out and having fun. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
I don't think I've ever been as stressed about anything as I was the night before our official departure date. I'm trying to load camels, work out cameras, say our goodbyes, map out what was about to happen. We were painfully disorganised.
And while in hindsight Nathan will admit this, he seemed more than quietly confident at the time of their departure.
Well, here we are, we've got our map, got our camels, we've got our dreams, our team. What do you say? Melbourne, here we come. Walk up, camels! Walk up, girls, walk up, boys! And if you
need to. Don't worry about the map, mate. I know where I'm going.
Well, you told me to take the map, I'll take it.
I just didn't want to carry it.
So the plan was to head off from Kalamunda up in the hills of Perth and head east. They were going to follow the pipeline that stretches from there all the way to Kalgoorlie, head south to Norseman and then across the Nullarbor, through South Australia and on to Melbourne. They were looking at about 3,500-kilometre trek, moving at about 20 kilometres a day. Based on Nathan's calculations, it would take them about 6 months.
Day one, 50 metres from the farm, where we departed, and we'd had a bit of a major accident. I led the camels through a bunch of trees, and again, we were sort of just finding our feet at the time. It was the first time that the camels had their loads, and it was a pretty stressful arrangement. So I thought I'd killed one of the camels, Priscilla, the camel on the end of 3. She hit a tree and got pulled up by the other camels, and as a result, I thought we'd nearly broken her neck. Damo fortunately had a knife on him and cut the rope, and this camel was in a pretty emotional state of affairs.
This has been the most emotional day I've had.
There was tears that day, and sort of that was the stage where I'm like, holy shit, what have we gotten ourselves into?
To be honest, it's probably a good thing. I don't really feel like being out on the road right now. We didn't even have any water.
So, you know, it's a learning curve for all of us, but now that we have made 50 metres, 50 metres is 50 metres.
But the real hiccups that were to come weren't to do with the camels or the harsh environment. They would be caused by a power struggle within the group.
The team dynamic was, at the start, really fun. We all knew each other relatively well and we all got along. Nathan was meant to be the leader of the trip, and that's what everyone tried to prep him up. But I think as the trip went on, it sort of came across that there was so much that he was thinking about that he wasn't able to lead as well as he should have and needed to.
The group, it was such a funny thing, you know, you talk about sort of alpha males amongst the camels, but then amongst each other, it was such a strange, it was a really strange power struggle. And between Nathan and Brad.
The question of leadership was always a bit of an interesting one, in that it's not something that, I mean, we're all mates. I mean, we're all sort of chipping in to achieve a common goal, which was traveling comfortably and safely. So the idea of leadership was one that was sort of put on me as it was my inception. But yeah, it's not something I really adopted very well, and it's not something that, or readily. And yeah, I suppose it was the first time I was put in a leadership position, which I really didn't want to have.
Like, he's doing an awesome job. If it wasn't for Brad, this wouldn't be going ahead. We need four doers as opposed to a dancer, a ponderer, and a dreamer.
Yeah.
But damn it, I'm a dreamer.
But even as tensions and tempers bubbled, the boys were still reminded with that beautiful, endless landscape of where they were and why they'd come.
I think I'm getting that feeling again, Brad. You know, it's on our terms and we're seeing it, and it's there. And anyone else who came out would be a tourist. And we're like, it's our backyard.
I don't even want to get started on how many good people we met along the way, because it was certainly the most positive thing to happen to me. And the impact that the camels had on people's lives, it was a real door opener.
The other night, it really blew me away, because we were sitting and talking, and the conversation was along the lines of, if you had everything that you ever possibly needed, what would you do? And I'd eat barbecue shapes, I'd sit on the couch, I'd watch the television set and cook lamb shanks three times a week. What a shit of an existence. But if we've got the opportunity to help anybody or inspire anybody at all, that just pisses on anything at all that you could possibly do.
So while the towns they found themselves in each night were relatively small, they inevitably had at least one pub. So from early on in the trip, pubs and beer tended to dictate their evening's activities.
Could you suggest for us to do this evening in Chidlow?
Ah, there's the pub.
There's the pub.
And of course there's the pub.
Yeah.
And there is the tavern.
I remember arriving in a place called Cunderdon, and it had one of the Yetamoga hotels. I think we actually stopped to have a beer at it. So we pulled up the camels, and a girl came along and said g'day, and one thing led to another, and she told us about how fortunate our timing and arriving, and that one of the local festivals was being put on. And we decided that we'd go and check it out.
There's no way we're going to leave this town at 12 o'clock tomorrow. Not with music like this. We're going to party pretty much all night, I reckon. Off the Nutbush. I know this one.
And we ended up pulling there into Cunderdon for about 3 days. Initially stopping for a beer.
Aren't people just amazing? She gave me this top, wearing it. It smells like girl, doesn't that? Or fabric softener. What's that? I've never.
Fabric softener.
That's what it is. I knew it was foreign.
But between the people they met, the parties they went to, and their alcohol consumption, something was starting to go seriously wrong between the four adventurers.
Started to wonder whether Brad maybe cut down on the drinks at night, then maybe in the morning he wouldn't be so grumpy and such a hard bastard. But, you know, down the track it's not going to be an option, so they keep saying, but it's been an option every night so far.
2 weeks into the trip, Damo's had enough. He's got sore feet and he's sick of walking.
One night in a big king-size double bed with pillows and doona and... oh, it's so good. Where I can sleep any way I like and wake up with all my limbs working. You wake up in the middle of the night and do this, wake your arms working again.
I think it was around week two. Sort of told us one night at camp and said, hey, look, you know, I was only here for a short time. It was a good time, but it's my time to push on. In fact, he probably used very similar words. It was poetic, I remember that. We're covered in flies and we said, fair enough, mate, do what you got to do. And so we had our final evening at camp. And the next day, he walked up to the highway and put his thumb out and hitched a ride to Kalgoorlie. All the best to him. It was a real loss. We were a four and we were finding our feet and our jobs and our natural roles. And all of a sudden, we were down to three. And, yeah, it sort of changed the whole dynamic.
Yeah, I think the key would be, if I had some advice to give him, which he wouldn't listen to anyway, would be just to be self, because that's why we're here. And everybody, I think it would, everyone knows that you've only been working here for a certain time. You've obviously got very little experience in this, but that's what this is about. This is not about experienced people crossing the deserts with camels. This is about us bunch of city morons crossing the, you know, the desert.
The real positive that I see about Damien disappearing is Brad knows now that Nathan is his man. But now that Nathan is his man, Nathan's stepping up.
I felt guilty for leaving. Very much so. Well, not very much so, but a little bit. I felt more guilty because I wondered what the boys were going to eat and just how they were going to get along. But I felt sometimes that once I left the equation, that it was possibly going to help the group a little bit as well, which I think it did.
It didn't.
What's that?
The three of us, okay, not just you. I was in Hinds Hill, okay, but we were in Hinds Hill with the camels.
Okay, what did I say?
I, as in me, fucking me.
Brad cracked it, huh? He did, he spat the dummy. I don't know, it's pretty emotional, isn't it? Because I spent half my time just walking on eggshells, which is no way to walk, especially this far. A lot of eggshells.
It's a situation where, by this stage, we should know how we can work together. But he's still giving instructions. And the thing that annoys me is that it's all talk and no action. And I don't mind people that understate when they've got performance behind them, but people that overstate that don't have performance really gets up my goat. It wouldn't normally bother me apart from the fact that he sits there and he tells everyone how fucking good he is. I just sit there and go, ah!
Brad's interesting. He's a bit of a live wire. He's very capable, but he's also... I think he switches. He's got this switch that just goes bang, and I don't see it coming. There's no way of seeing it coming, so I feel more comfortable with the camels than I do with Brad a little bit at the moment. So it's sort of one of those things. It does test your patience a bit, but I have to be the calming influence, and I don't know how calming I can be on him.
Then Brad decides to leave the trip.
Brad continued for another couple of hundred Ks, which it was probably 200 Ks, which actually equates to at least 2 weeks, which is a lot of time, a lot of walking. But I remember there being a pub there somewhere, and we pulled in for the evening. The night was kicking on, and he was chatting to a few people at the bar. Before we knew it, we woke up the next day, Leon and I, that is, and Brad was nowhere to be seen. So we asked around, and it turns out he'd sort of pushed on back to some camp where there was a few beers going, and he said he'd be back in the morning. He didn't show up, so we loaded up the camels and started walking, and we were waiting for Brad to turn up at some point during the day.
He'll probably turn up at some point today, maybe at Coolgardie, but he'll have to hitchhike with his swag, and I reckon that's going to be very funny. He's going to be hurting. He was having so much fun last night. I have no idea how he's going to get back. God, it's going to be funny to see him.
Brad didn't turn up at some point during that day. Instead, we got a text message saying that he'd shot up to Kalgoorlie, and that was a complete surprise to us. Our four was down to three, and now with Brad gone, we're down to two. And yeah, it was an anxious time.
100 bottles of beer on the wall. 400 bottles of beer, one of us should fall. 399 bottles of beer on the wall, 399 bottles of beer on the wall, 399 bottles of beer.
Again, a dot on the map, Coolgardie. I knew that there was a camel farm there, and I desperately hoped that they would take us in, they would have yards, and we could put our camels there. So when we turned up, we found that the camel farm was closed, but we hunted around and we eventually found the farmer. He was actually leaving to Perth, but he gave us a yard, and Leon and I ended up staying there.
And by this stage, Leon decides he's had enough too.
I need a break. I need a break from Nathan. His mind is driving me batty. He's one of my closest friends. I love him dearly, but
If I spent another week with him, I'd probably end up killing him.
The great thing about documenting the trip was that I always felt that I was a little bit distant from the trip. So I was observing it. So anything that went incredibly wrong was fine. I didn't get emotionally involved because it was really good footage, first of all. And it didn't matter whether or not it got fixed, because the worse the problem, the more dangerous it got, or the more things that messed up, the better the footage was and the content. And I think had I not been filming the trip, I probably would have left a lot earlier. I think if I didn't have the camera, I would have gone insane, or would have gone, this trip is just falling to pieces, and would have hitchhiked out of there a lot earlier. The thing that made me leave was a realization that the trip was over, and that Nathan was pretty much left by himself, and the trip wasn't gonna continue.
There's not a lot of peace in my heart right now. The camels aren't geared for what we're asking of them. It's ambitious and it's arrogant of us to think otherwise. I don't even know why I'm doing it. I don't know if I want to do it, because these obstacles, they're major obstacles, and they stand between success and failure, which I've been thinking about all day today. What is a successful trip and what is a failure? And I don't know that I've got the motivation to go on. And it means I keep thinking about people I'm letting down. I almost feel like this, like I'm letting down a lot of people if I stop. But I'm certainly thinking about stopping in Kalgoorlie and ending the trip. Anyway, something will come up. Something always comes up. I like that. You just gotta believe.
Nathan had started out with a big idealistic dream, but just a couple of months in, these three friends and a family member weren't really even speaking to each other. They'd gone into the desert for a real challenge, for something more than ordinary life. But the biggest challenge, in the end, had been pretty ordinary: how to get along with each other. And there was this camera, there to document all their expectations failing to be met. Nathan had wanted an epic film out of the trip, the hero's journey recorded for the world to see. Leon had wanted a real-life documentary of a desert adventure. But neither of them ever expected that this story would turn into a romantic comedy.
My name is Zoe Rudder and I'm a Perth girl, now living in Wangaratta. Once upon a time, I was working in public relations, and for some strange reason, I decided to throw it all in to move to Kalgoorlie and report on the mines. It was my first day there, and I spoke to another journalist, and I didn't know a single soul other than a bunch of pretty hungry looking miners. So I said to the other journalist, you know, if you're like going out at all, please invite me. I really need to make some friends. And she said, tomorrow I'm interviewing a group of guys who are traveling with camels. So I'm going to have a beer with them, get to know them. There might be a bit of a yarn in it if you want to come along. And I said, sure. So I rocked up at the pub, actually hoping to make friends with this girl who seemed really nice and interesting. And met Nathan. No, it wasn't love at first sight. Mostly, I think I wanted to feed you because, you know, you looked a little underdone. He had this big Jesus beard. It was a big beard. So I kind of wanted to feed him and clean him. Possibly my first thoughts were maternal rather than sexual, which is not necessarily the most romantic start to a relationship, but a very caring one.
The first date, yeah, I took Zoe out. I said, well, hang on, I've got to go and see some camels.
Yes.
Down in Coolgardie. So if you want to come along, maybe, you know, you could come and help me shovel a bit of camel poo. And she was good enough to come down. And I don't know, how do you remember that?
Because I love animals, and I was so excited about the fact that you had camels. So you actually suggested, because I wanted to meet the camels, that I just come along and to bring a book. And when you started shoveling camel poo, I grabbed a shovel and got in there with you. And I think that I think that might have been when you decided that you liked me. It was my prowess on the end of a shovel that you fell for. The camels were pretty pivotal to the formation of our relationship, really. I was so excited about this man with these camels, and Nathan had this gorgeous relationship with the camels. It was really lovely. It was really lovely, actually. It was a very easy way to fall for someone when you can see them being really really involved with the animals. And yeah, I really sort of respected that relationship that you had with them.
5 years on, it seems like a tremendous experience that we've shared. Mm. And if I take anything out of the camels, is that it was this great adventure that led me to Zoe, and she Aww. Was my pot of gold at the end of the journey. And I absolutely am so glad that I took a gamble in life, and I've never looked back.
With a story like that, you know, any thoughts about not having kids? We kind of just have to have them because it's a good one for the grandchildren. We pretty much would have children just to tell the grandkids about how we met. Is that fair?
Watch this space. No comment.
That was Nathan Carter and his pot of gold, Zoe Rudder, who just recently became his fiancée as well.
Darling, won't you come run away with me? I've rubbed off my palms and I've worn out my knees, and I don't feel this place holds a lot for me. So darling, won't you come run away with me?
That piece was produced by Fiona Pepper and was supervised by myself and all the best other executive producer, Jordana Caputo. That was the first full-length radio documentary that Fiona Pepper had ever made, and I'm sad to say that this is my last episode as host and features executive producer on All the Best. I'll still be around as an executive producer on the show, but in a couple of weeks you'll be hearing from our new features executive producer, Meryn Winchester. She's a multi-talented lady and we're very lucky to have her. Until then, All the Best is produced at FBI Radio Sydney in association with Radio Adelaide, 4ZZZ in Brisbane and SYN in Melbourne. Our show is played across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Our production manager is Carly-Anne Keneally. Our executive producer is Jordana Caputo. And for the last time, I'm the features executive producer of the show. But we'll be back next week with more great stories on All the Best. See ya.